times it's a little difficult to speak after that. The young man at the end, Alfred, is the half-brother to the first one that was plowing and lost his way there for a moment as the oxen left him behind. The first one, the one with the that was plowing, is Pastor Aaron Siaziombo. And I met him many years ago when I was going on short-term trips. And he went with me on several different trips, trained under another missionary, and probably one of their best young men, products of their school. And for some reason, and I checked with them, and it wasn't his fault. They just didn't follow up with him. And the Lord allowed him to come work with us. And he's now the pastor of Grace Baptist Church at Colma Village, where my wife, by the way, I'd like for her to stand. 45 years, November the 22nd. She has tolerated me and loved me most of the time. But she was teaching in the school out there, teaching Bible at a community school. It wasn't even a government school. It is now. And from that, the work sprang Grace Baptist Church. Pastor Aaron is pastoring it. The building that Alfred is working on, and he's come to work with us. I've known him since he was 16. He was going to be at, by the way, what time? Man, we ain't got no clock back there. I got one. Where? Oh, it's right here in front of me. We threw it 7. Okay, on the dot. Pretty close. I better hurry. Anyway, I put my watch up there because that's the first thing I'll see. The watch scares me to death, especially with the pastor on the front row. Alfred, I knew him when he was 16. He wanted to be a lawyer. And I said, have you really checked into that? I said, how are your grades? How good is the school you're going to? And et cetera. He went to a pretty good school. His mama put him through somehow. And he came back later and he said, I realized I'm not going to make it as a lawyer. So he went and learned a building trade. And he also, the Lord got a hold of him. Amen. And he said, I want to be a preacher. And the Lord brought him to work with us here a little over a year, about a year and a half ago, something like that. Anybody, how long? 2 years ago. There you go. Thank you. What are wise for? Everything. And so anyway, he is a tremendous young man of God. He's 23 years old, got a wife and a baby. And is building the Institute Housing Building at Grace Baptist Church. We're going to have a village-appropriate Bible Institute. That means we're not going to bring in things they can't maintain when we die or leave. And they'll be able to keep it going. The guy that was said, Brother Phil, we are greeting you. And grinning with a big old grin. He's the head man of the village, an active, faithful member at Grace Baptist Church, and he wants to be a preacher. He just got too much headman in him, you know, kind of like a politician. If we have any in here, I apologize for even saying that. But anyway, he just, you know, he can't get past it. But he loves the Lord, and he brings people to hear about Jesus Christ. And the one right behind him is the first one to surrender to the ministry and go into the institute that weren't already with us, that are in training, that will come to the Institute. So he's the first one after we started this project. And so the Lord's blessed us. We're putting in a village-appropriate farm to support them. Lord willing, Brother Alfred said we should finish this today. And when I saw that, I thought, yeah, right. I'm sure that's going to happen. But they have finished it. And the doors, I sent money, and they got the doors, and the doors are on it. And we're ready to get started as soon as everything else is in line. And that may even start before I'm there. I love that. They don't need me so much anymore, especially these people. They held a Bible conference, and the schoolmaster at the school in our most remote work, Richard Chilicana, he got a hold of me and said this. He said, you didn't show up. And I said, well, I told you I might not. He said, well, I'm glad you didn't. Wow. Thanks a lot. Faithful member of the church. Got four wives before he ever got saved, and so he can't be the pastor, but he sure does tell people about Jesus. Amen. And I don't tell him to divorce any of them. God hates divorce. You know, he's real happy he's got all those wives, but he did it before he got saved. What is he going to do? Kick them out. 20-some-odd children. He doesn't even know how many he's got. Grandchildren. So you don't tell him to kick them out, because then they just go starve or something, you know. Or go get married again, and that's adultery. But anyway, I'm an old-fashioned Baptist. I have a pretty narrow view of some things. But anyway, he said, you didn't even show up. He said, we didn't see a white person there. I said, wow. I said, how'd it go? He said, better than ever. He said, we didn't need you. He said, they did a great job. He said, we're glad you stayed away. He said, you just get in the way now. That's what a missionary wants. Hallelujah. For his people to do the work under the leadership of the Spirit of the Most High God, the Spirit of Christ, their Savior. He's the boss, not me anyway. Those preachers don't belong to me. This doesn't have anything to do with the message I was thinking about preaching. I just got off on it, you know, when I got to looking at our people that we miss. But anyway, you'll see some, I'll mention as we look into the scripture, and you can be turning to Philippians, the second chapter, and we're going to look at a short passage in there. I'll start at a verse and stop, and you'll know when I'm through when I pray. But we'll talk about some other photos that you saw as we went through that video presentation. I did think of something, Brother Michael. When you said, y'all don't look so good, I'm sure you weren't talking about all of us, especially me, but anyway. Reminded me of the old boys looking for a horse to buy. If you've heard this, don't shout it out. You know how Baptists are. They shout amen or shout the answer, the punchline. But he's going out looking for a horse, and he found this Mexican fellow that had a horse, and he wasn't long from Mexico down there in South Texas, and he was looking at this horse wanting to buy it, and this Mexican fellow said, she no look so good though. And he said, no, she looks fine to me. He said, oh no, she no look so good. He said, I'm gonna buy her. He said, okay, senor. So he takes the horse home and turns it loose in the pasture, and the horse runs dead into a tree. Whop! He took it back. He said, this horse is blind. I told you, senor, she don't look so good. So I hope he wasn't talking about blind people out here tonight when he was saying you don't look so good. I grew up in Texas, and I always thought if I went to the mission field, the Lord would send me to Mexico. I had 2 years of Spanish in high school, and grew up with Hispanics, and we fought and then covered each other's back when somebody came against us, you know, and things like that. You know, just boys. You know how boys are. We're a problem. Men, we're a problem. We never grow up. But anyway, I always thought the Lord would send me to Mexico because it wouldn't take me any time to learn the language. So he sends me to Zambia where I can't learn the language. It's impossible. And to understand it is next to impossible. But the Lord has blessed us with English speakers. The nation of Zambia is an English-speaking nation in trade and commerce. And so we use those that speak English and understand English. English is a definitional language. Their language is pictorial and anecdotal. They know the people they're greeting in the morning. So they're greeting. They'll tell you that Mavugabuti means hello. It doesn't mean hello. It means how did you spend the night? Because they know the person they're talking to. Or how did you get up? They know if they have a sickness or an illness or if they're tormented by evil spirits. They know what's going on within the people they greet. And so that's what it really means. And it's difficult because we think in definitions. They see pictures and stories. But the Lord has blessed us with some good ones. Let's look in Philippians, the second chapter. Told you to find it, and I wasn't quite ready. Let's begin, if we may, in the fifth verse of the second chapter of Philippians. Let this mind be in you, which also was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore, God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do his good pleasure. Do all things without murmuring and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Father, we know you are present here. There cannot be a place in all creation and eternity that you are not present now. Father, we cannot grasp or confine you to our understanding of such a magnificent and glorious thought of our great God and Savior. And Father, we ask that you would manifest yourself to us tonight. We're not talking about something that's trumped up by men. Father, what we are asking is that we know personally your presence here with us tonight to lead and guide and direct and encourage us to live the mission that you've given us to live, to serve you with joy and gladness, to be humble under your mighty hand, that your will to do your good pleasure be formed in us. In Jesus' holy and name so lovely and so graceful and so mighty, we pray. Amen. I want us to think for just a few moments about that work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. We have a lot of Pentecostalism in Zambia, a lot of it. And they teach people things that you couldn't find in any Bible, even a perverted one. They teach them to do things that the witch doctors did before they ever taught people to do those things. They teach them all kinds of things that are not equal to the Scripture. And one of them is that you have to, once, if you're going to have salvation, it takes work on your part to do it. And folks, we know here, I know that we know here, that that cannot be true. But it says to work out your own salvation. God gave you a salvation that's special, God gave you a salvation that is unique. You say, I thought it was the same salvation for all of us. Yes, the forgiveness of sin is the same for all of us. Hallelujah. It's the same blood that washes our sins away. It's the same Christ that commissions us to go forth and go out and go and do His work. It's the same salvation, but He didn't send you to Zambia yet, did He? Notice I said yet. Maybe He'll call one of y'all to come work with us. Look out. You never know what He's going to do. Africa was not, my wife told the Brother Wiggins class this morning, Africa wasn't on her top 100 places to even visit, much less live. When the Lord called me, told me that we were going, I wasn't one of these things, you know. Oh, yeah, we heard God's voice and saw a light come in the back door and shine around the room and stuff like that. But He spoke and said, you're not going to have a mission activity of going back and forth. You're going to go live there. And I said, you know, I'm married to that woman. She's my wife. But that's all. Well, that entails a lot. But she's your daughter. There's a difference. She's your daughter. And after we were there for a while, the Lord gave her a heart for the people, and she loves them. Children's ministries, and working with ladies, and laboring and fixing good meals when I get home, and causing me not to be able to lose weight like I want to, and, you know, all of those wonderful things. And she's a good friend, too, to me. When I'm discouraged, when I'm tired, she always has an encouraging word. And usually it goes something like this: my father's got your back. Like, you know, God's not my father, almost, but He is. We have each of us have something special. Young people, listen to me. He has something special for you. The pastor can't tell you what that is. He can encourage you to consider all things and all avenues that are godly and holy and righteous. Adults, pastor can't tell you what to do for Jesus Christ in the end run of life, where you're headed for the goal line, you're headed for the prize of the high calling of God. That prize is to know what He wants you to do and how He wants you to conduct yourself, whether it be a businessman that simply gives a gospel tract or simply says a word about Christ to the people that he deals with, a storekeeper that just simply does things that pique someone's interest. I love going into convenient marts, you know. So many of them in places I've been, most of them are drug addicts that work at the counter. You can tell by the mistakes they make. Anyway. And so I'll go in and they'll say, well, how are you today? You know, while their eyes roll back in their head. I say, better than I deserve. Oh, no, you shouldn't say that. The birds and the bees, you know, and the tree huggers and all that. And you shouldn't say that. Why, you deserve. I said, no, I don't. Well, why do you say that? And then, you know, the thought probably runs through their mind. Maybe this guy just killed somebody. He's not been caught yet. I better be careful. Anyway, I tell them, because I deserve to go to the devil's hell. You know, and I'll tell them about Jesus until the next customer needs to be dealt with. We each have a working out of our own salvation, and with and with fear and trembling. Not because we're afraid to do it, but because we want to please the Most High God in everything we do. We're not working for our salvation. Bless God, Jesus took care of it. He gave it to me. It's a free gift. He gave me mercy delivered by grace. Because He's glorious and wonderful and loves me. But He allowed me the privilege of working in a foreign land. A Texan in Africa. That's like oil and water most of the time, if we're not careful. But He's allowed me to go to these people, and I love them as much as I love Texans. Now, folks, that's a lot of love. I love Texans, most of them. I've met a few ones, few that maybe I didn't love quite so much. But I loved them, and God allowed me to have that. It was His will to do His good pleasure in my life. That's what working out. Find out what he wants you to do. Tonight, tomorrow, the next day, and then for the rest of your life. It's one step at a time. This working out of serving the Lord Jesus Christ. He gave us a commission. He gave us a commission. He said this. He said, all power is given. This is just a short part of it in Matthew. You put all of them together to find out what the whole thing is. From Matthew and Mark and Luke and John and Acts. And you put it all together and you find the whole program. But he said, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. That's all power. Amen. Nothing reserved. He said, go ye therefore. Therefore always refers back to what he just said. Forget the paragraph marking. The words are pure. But the paragraph markings sometimes are not in places where they should be. And the thought is this. All power is given unto me. Go therefore and teach all nations. What? That he has all power. Teach who he is. Teach that he's eternal. Teach that he died on the cross of Calvary. Teach that he rose from the dead. Hallelujah. He is a God of gods. He is the God of the universe. And he can save to the uttermost those that will bow before him in repentant faith and believe on him with all their heart and follow him because they now love him and have him as their life, denying themselves. He go and teach them that. Then when they believe, you baptize them. Amen. That picture of the death, burial, and resurrection that Satan hates. One day we were baptizing. He hates a baptism. The demonic, evil, and foul spirits that are all over Africa. You can read in the Old Testament about familiar spirits. That means they're attached to families. Familiar. And they're wicked and they're foul. Jesus said evil and foul spirits. And they hate a baptism. Why? Because it's a picture of their destruction. It's a picture of their destruction. That person, we teach them, when you get baptized, you're making a promise to God that you have believed He died for you, that Jesus died for you, was buried and rose again, and He's alive forevermore, and so are you. So am I. So am I. I'm coming out of this water, and God forbid that we should sin that grace may abound. God forbid. It's a testimony that we're going to come out of that water and live for Jesus Christ. Boy, the demons of hell and Satan himself hate that. Because we teach them, you're making a promise, live up to it or Jesus will whip you. We tell them the whole story. We don't hold anything back. Wouldn't many of them know the whole story before they get saved? Old Andrew Matondo, the old man, known for his ability to knock a guy out with one punch. Down in the remote Habanuka Valley. I don't know why, but he just took me in like a child. I preached his daughter's funeral. And so he just took me in like I was one of his own children. He's older than I am. He's older than dirt. Because I'm older than dirt. So he had to be. Anyway, he took me in and he professed Christ, but it wasn't real. And as he learned, he came forward in church service one day and ran to the front. He said, I got it. In Tonga. So they're telling me what he's saying real quick. He said, I got it. And so I said, ask him what he got. I thought maybe he had the flu or something. I didn't know. He grinned that big old grin on his face. He said, I got it. I understand what salvation. I understand Jesus. He said, today's the day. Amen. Today's the day that I give myself to him. He's been a changed man. I mean, really changed. We teach them who he is and what he's done. And we teach them their baptism means something. And when they come out of that water, when it says baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. And then it says, and teach them to observe whatsoever things I have commanded them. That's the working out of the salvation. Amen. That is getting busy for Christ. As we labor there and you labor here, not only do you have a part in the people that are saved in Zambia, not only are you a part of that ministry, but we're a part of what you do here. Let us encourage one another. Let us not fail. Let us always encourage one another to be faithful, that we may be two things real quick and I'll be through. Blameless. I don't want the Lord, I mean, he has to do it enough as it is. I don't want to encourage it to have to point his finger at me and say, you're walking up on a whooping, boy. I love you. I'll never forget, we were out with Duke Williams one night. We were out hunting jackrabbits. Can I have an extra 3 minutes? Okay, thank you. We were out hunting jackrabbits out in up close to San Angelo, and we were shooting the fire out of those dudes, man. I mean, we were popping 22s and taking them out. Every jackrabbit's worth a unit, so the ranchers want them gone. A unit is a cow. I mean, every 20 jackrabbits is worth a unit. So we're helping the rancher out and having a ball. And so we stopped. We got tired. My trigger finger was about to fall off past my little finger. We were tired, and we stopped at old Jeep. Got us out some Coca-Colas and some sandwiches and snacks, and we're eating, and Duke looks over at me, Brother Wiggins and Mrs. Wiggins know him, said, "You reckon the Lord's watching us?" I said, "Yeah, I'm sure of it. He's watching us." He said, "Do you have any idea what he's saying?" I said, "No, not really, but I'm going to take some liberty and take a guess." Said he's looking, because we'd been talking about him, and we'd been talking about Jesus Christ, and we'd been talking about grace and mercy, and the miry pit that he'd dug us from, and the rock that he'd set our feet upon to serve him. And I said, he's looking down there, and he's telling old Gabriel, said, "Look down there in that pasture." Said, "Them's my boys. Them's my boys. They love me, and I love them." That's the way I want him to feel and to think toward me. And he always will. He'll always love me. But sometimes that love takes a correction. And I want to be blameless before him so that I can be harmless before men. Amen. And women. Amen. And children. Amen. And people I meet. And places I go, that I harm not the glory of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, let us together live the mission. Let us work out this precious and glorious salvation that God has given us, that we honor and glorify the one who became a lamb, yet the eternal shepherd. The King who became a man and died for us and took his kingship back and leads and guides and directs us with his will to do his good pleasure in our life. Thank you, Pastor.